Greetings, and thank you for having me. I would like to thank Dr. Prado in particular for not only the invitation, but also for being such a great collaborator over the years. I see that the theme for today is Libraries for a Better World. And I have to tell you, after this past year, I could certainly use a better world right now. After this past year, a world without COVID would be nice. Without the isolation of the pandemic, without the loss and fear would be nice. A better world where public health is not intertwined with political ideologies and where wearing a mask is not a political statement. A better world where we don't pit the economy against the environment and where the color of your skin or the place of your birth does not determine your future. A better world where we can explore ideas, love whom we love, be who we are. A better, more equitable world where nations seek prosperity together and do not seek to take what they want by force. Where we use the internet as a global platform for sharing and gathering, not for data collection or surveillance. A better world where we seek commonality while celebrating differences. However, the world is not simply going to get better on its own. And having libraries in that world is insufficient to bring us the world we want. Libraries have been around in one form or another for a few thousand years and has not yet resulted in the utopia that we seek. No. If we want a better world, we are going to have to be part of making it better. Our world today demands that we rethink the role of libraries, that we acknowledge that the true power of a library to make change is not in its books or buildings, but in you, the librarians. Librarians dedicated to the values of learning, openness, diversity, intellectual honesty, as well as intellectual freedom and safety. Our current world is splintered and hurting, and libraries are one of the few institutions left to help stitch together those communities and work together to create a better world. For too long, we have defined our roles as access points, as places that gather materials and provide space to access that information. Information is not enough. Information has no conscience. No ability to see consequence or interrogate a connection to reality. Information access points have no empathy or dedication to the larger mission of a compassionate economy. Information and data are things that can be harvested, packaged, and monetized. And while data and information are important, librarians are not in the information business. We are about knowledge. Knowledge cannot be recorded, cataloged, or shelved as a series of sterile containers. Knowledge is passion and the perpetual drive within us as human beings seeking to better understand, to better control our own fate, and ultimately to find meaning. It is time for us to make a better world through direct engagement with our communities. Be those communities living in the streets of São Paulo, or the lecture halls of a university, or the classrooms of our primary schools, or in a hospital room. Some of you will hear this call and say that I'm asking too much of you. Or you may say that my vision of librarianship is too large, spilling over from a core mission of collections into the turbulent world of politics and activism. I understand the hesitation. But librarians' role as activists is long and stems from our core beliefs. An effort in Australia is underway to define the role of libraries in supporting the health and well-being of communities. When thinking of ways librarians and the libraries they manage could support the health of communities, librarians were quick to talk about access to books, databases, and materials on health conditions. If you have cancer or high blood pressure, you can go to the library to learn more about your condition. clearly the thinking goes that more information on living a healthy lifestyle will lead to healthier communities. But when talking with community members, finding health information is not a problem. Aside from those library collections, the internet opens up millions of documents on just about any condition you can imagine. The true problem the community is facing is not in finding health information, or even in determining the quality of that information, though that is a problem to be sure. It was in using that information to act. Actions like seeing a doctor, or accessing affordable medication, or getting support, that was the scarcity. When the idea of amplifying community voices was suggested as a strategy librarians could support, the librarians pushed back. That was too close to advocacy, too close to activism focused on policy and governmental change. That, it was said, is not the role of librarians. Except, in the same effort, librarians identified a core skill in stories and storytelling. Few librarians would argue that stories and storytelling aren't central to the field. We gather stories in the form of fiction, nonfiction, and yes, in research articles that tell the story of experiments and new discoveries. We hold storytelling programs and invite authors of stories to come and engage with our communities. In healthcare, communities were struggling with getting service. These struggles are stories. If you don't like the idea of being an advocate, then see yourself as a mighty platform for amplifying the stories of the community. For centuries, libraries have amplified the stories of published authors. It is now time for our libraries to be platforms for the stories and lived experiences of the community itself, from the struggling student to the most learned lawyer. Our job as librarians is no longer to gather the elite stories of voices outside of the community. That role has importance, but it is now in the service of amplifying the voices of the community itself, amplifying it in learning, in connecting, and yes, in advocating. Return to the theme for the day, a better world. What does that world look like? Who will tell its story? What is the narrative of the community? Is it a literate community? Is it an inventive, artistic, economically thriving? Is it suffering? Is it disconnected? And once you work to build that common narrative, what do you do about it? As you forge a new vision for the new normal past the pandemic, what will you do if that narrative of the community is one of pain and suffering and disenfranchisement? Will you simply document it? Will you seek to distract the community through reading and fun events? Or will you make a commitment to educate and empower the diverse voices of the community to make the world better? I tell you today that libraries are not the storehouses of society. They are engines of disruption. Don't believe me? Take the concept of information literacy. For some, information literacy is about educating those we serve about materials, how one can test the authenticity of the materials, what form they may take, what you can do legally with those materials. This is the worst form of information literacy in that it looks at information use in a legalistic frame. That this is what peer review is. This is what copyright is. Look for a date in the document. Look for an author. The best form of information literacy is teaching cautious curiosity. It is in preparing people to be empowered to seek out their truth and skeptical about what they may find in that process. We wish to disrupt a cycle of information consumption that automatically trusts a source because it seems right or comes from a certain source. We want people to question the narrative and the messenger and ultimately their own predetermined worldview. Take our collections. The best academic library collections in the world are full of lies and heresies. They are there not by accident, but so that scholars trained to seek out the truth can recognize the opposite. They are there to challenge the students to break out of a common sense narrative into a critical one. Our academic libraries empower scholars and students alike to see past what is to what could be. In the United States, school librarians are currently fighting against lexile levels in reading development. A lexile level is assigned to a book and supposedly matches the ability of a young reader to that book. Yet librarians know that readers should be striving and, yes, failing to read beyond any stated level. Students driven by strong interests will try and fail and try and fail at higher level texts and in the end expand their capabilities and their understanding. Disruption. It was the librarians seeking disruptive change that brought fiction into the public library, that opened the stacks, that built pop-up libraries in the beaches and favelas where the people needed them, not where government chose to put them. It was a disruptive force that brought about the public library in the first place, saying that learning was not restricted to the elite. But disruption is not enough for the better world. Tearing down can be hard and important work, but in the end leaves only the broken and the skeptical. Libraries must be engines of disruption and forgers of a new normal. And let me be clear in my language, because libraries are nothing more than buildings and organizational charts. Librarians must be engines of disruption and forgers of a new normal. Librarians must provide access to new and emerging ideas, not waiting for them to be published or even written down. And that access must be two ways. Librarians must help the members of our community to access the work and ideas of others, as well as be a platform for our members to share their own work. We must actively discard the artificial distinction between reader and author, producer and consumer. The very act of learning is the act of creation. We are all creators. Librarians must build the knowledge of our communities through workshops and reference transactions, through the provision of materials and software. Librarians must prepare our members to engage in an increasingly global conversation about what a better world should be. As librarians, we must create spaces, real and virtual, where people can come together, explore, learn, and feel safe in doing so. This is partially about creating a sense of safety, but more importantly, building facilitated environments where people could take on hard and sensitive subjects in an honest but civil way. For example, in my hometown of Columbia, South Carolina, the librarians host difficult conversations on race. In person and now in video conferences, trained facilitator librarians bring together Black and white to honestly confront systemic racism in daily lives. Former white supremacists sit next to Black elders seeking a better world. Why the library? Because librarians have built up trust with most sectors of our communities. What other civic organization spans generations, professions, and social classes? And librarians, they built this trust and span these societal strata on purpose, by choice. They span the communities not because they are neutral or unbiased in whom they serve, but the exact opposite. They have made it their mission to bring literacy, access, learning to those most in need. Once again, they are seeking to disrupt long-held barriers between people and then construct a new and better community with greater empathy among its members. Finally, librarians seek to understand what motivates those who we seek to serve. In an increasingly digital world where the neurology of motivation and the dopamine cycle have been weaponized by companies seeking to sell advertising, libraries and librarians seek a deeper connection to intrinsic motivation. Where Facebook might use game theory to sell your attention, librarians seek to unleash the passions of a person. A passion for reading, a passion for science, a passion to understand, and ultimately control the world around a person. I understand that a shift from information provider to engines of disruption and reconstruction is a scary leap. It is frightening because no building or collection or organizational chart can serve as engine and facilitator. Those are uniquely human acts. And that means that I am asking you to put yourself in front of the community. The better world we seek will not be built by buildings and collections, but by a dedicated core of professionals seeking a better tomorrow. Yes, we have tools made of glass and steel and paper and bindings, but it is through human connection that we lay foundations of trust. No signage or database or ebook will begin to weave together our fractured society. Black must meet white, right must meet with left, old and young must come together and do the hard work of finding common ground and a common vision for tomorrow. People will have to change their minds and their actions. It is in this change that our value must be measured. I will leave you with one final story. It's a story that gives me hope. In 2011, the people of Egypt took to the streets to demand reform from a government regime that had been in power for nearly 30 years. In the port city of Alexandria, the government released violent prisoners and sent in rioters to assault and discredit the protesters. As buildings were burned and symbols of government power were vandalized, the citizens of the city, men, women, and children, formed a human chain around the modern Library of Alexandria to protect it. The peaceful protesters called out to the librarians sheltered inside the building and asked to place a 30-foot-long protest flag on the steps of the library. Every day, the protesters, on their way to seek greater democracy, would touch their hands to the flag draped on top of the concrete steps built by the very leader they now sought to oust from power. By the end of the protest, not one window was broken and not one stone was thrown against the walls of that library. Because in the years it had been open, the library had served and built a bond with the community. Librarians had built that bond. What was intended as a show of the wealth of the president had become a tool of liberation through knowledge. However, before we celebrate too much, we must understand that this revolution was followed by a coup, and more protests, and more limits on a democratic institution, showing us that we can never truly live in a better world forever. The better world we seek is constantly evolving, and that requires constant vigilance and constant reinvention. We all want to live in a better world. But to do so, we all must be dedicated to making a better world. Librarians hold a special place in this. Librarians are dedicated to knowledge. Librarians are dedicated and based in communities. Librarians are the core of professionals that can facilitate a civil discussion about how we come together to imagine better. We do this through engaging, not shelving. We do this through connecting, not just collecting. We do this through a dedication to the values that have served us over hundreds of years and a constant reinvention of our purpose. Thank you very much.